RadioInfluence.com.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forced the top. Wow. You think it's a mission? And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout. He's out. Rich Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome to the MMA Report podcast interview edition. It is Sunday, September the 13th. Hopefully you're having a great weekend. Hopefully maybe you're listening to us, you're having a little Sunday fun day. Whether you're just sitting around the house doing some things around the house, maybe enjoying a cocktail or two, maybe catching the NFL football. I do appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this podcast. Of course, this is the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast. And come up here on this edition, we're going to have four interviews for you, four fighters that I've spoken to over the past week. You're going to hear from a fighter that's going to be a part of Tuesday's Dana White Contender Series. Corey Cuppy comes out of that Michigan regional scene. Had a great chat with him the other day. So you're going to hear my conversation that I had with Corey Cuppy. Then you're going to hear from a fighter who's coming off a win in the UFC, Hunter Azure, coming off that decision win against Cole Smith. Had a really interesting conversation with him, so you're going to hear that conversation with Hunter Azure. Then you're going to hear two interviews that I did last week of fighters who competed this past weekend. You're going to hear from Daniel Madrid, who picked up a win last night at the Bellator event, a split decision win on the Bellator preliminary card. I've had a chance to speak with Daniel on a couple of opportunities and had a great chance to talk with him about kind of what has been going on with 2020 for him, as 2020 has been an interesting year in terms of his fight career. He's had some fights that just have not come together. We're supposed to take on IMPA and LFA right at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. And of course, that fight did not happen. Then he was supposed to fight Austin Vanderford on Saturday. That fight did not happen because of Austin testing positive for COVID-19. Ultimately, ended up taking on Pat Casey on Saturday night as a part of the preliminary card. As I mentioned, he did pick up a split decision win over Pat Casey. So, gonna let you hear that conversation that I had with Daniel Madrid. That was a conversation where, I'll be honest with you, I don't think we really talked much about his actual fight. We more talked about some general things. So definitely want to let you hear that conversation I had with him. Also, in the final conversation you're going to hear that I had, it's going to be with Josh Quinlan, who's now 3-0 in his career. He got a second round win on Friday night at LFA 91, getting a TKO win against Pete Keepers, now 3-0 in his career. So this was actually the first time I've had a chance to talk to Josh. So I had a great chat with him, learned about how he was a soccer player and then ultimately made his way to mixed martial arts. So you hear that story from him. But up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Corey Cuppy. It'll be a part of Tuesday night's Dana White Contender Series. Going to be taking on Michael Lombardo. Of course, I'm very familiar with Michael Lombardo from the Florida regional MMA scene. Also, we've seen him on Dana White's Contender Series. So here is my conversation with Corey Cuppy. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be part of Dana White's Contender Series coming up here on September the 15th as he takes on Michael Lombardo. Is Corey Cuppy. Corey, as always, man, I appreciate your time. It's been about a year since we had a chance to talk. We had last talk when you were supposed to have one of the scheduled fights you had against Eric Lozano, but you're coming off that win in LFA. How would you describe what 2020 has been like for you? I mean, I know obviously from your gym has not been able to be open, so obviously that's put a damper on this year. But how would you describe how this year has gone for you?
It's crazy. I started off the year, wanted to be really active, fought in LFA, and then two, three weeks later, that's when the lockdown hit. So it's just been utter chaos like everybody else, just trying to wait until it's over on November 4th.
I know Matt Frendo, of course, who runs Lights Out Championship. I see him on Facebook. He's always kind of like, "Hey, fighters, I'm trying to make a show happen." But for you, as a Michigan-based fighter, how difficult has it been just to constantly do what you want to do every day and get training in?
You know, luckily me and my brother own a gym. So even though we haven't been open, we've had like a small group training this whole time. So I think that's the only thing that actually kept us sane. You know, I didn't train for the first week because I thought everyone was going to die. But then after we started training and grappling, you feel a lot better. So we've kind of just been training this whole time, staying ready for something that might pop up, and something popped up. So we're ready to go.
I know I saw on your Instagram, you talked about this is, you know, 11 years in the making for this moment. Do you like the fact that it's on a relative short notice as opposed to like the 6 to 8 week camp?
Yeah. Yeah. My brother was actually just saying that it's probably a good thing because I always end up hurt and overtraining during the long camps. And I think this is going to be my 39th flight. So I fully know what's going on and what to expect, you know, and most opponents are pretty similar. You know, I've been training for the same style the whole time, coming from a sport karate background. I feel like that's why it took me so long, because to be elite, like you have to be elite at grappling. So I put in 11 years of wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So that way, when I get to this stage, I'm fully ready to go everywhere, you know, and I feel my grappling is a complete weapon, like fight finishing grappling and stuff people haven't seen. So, yeah, the short notice, I don't mind that, you know. Fight's a fight. Been in lots of them.
When you got the call from your manager, Jason House, do you remember what your initial reaction was to getting this fight?
About time, motherfuckers. No, it was just a relief, you know, more relief than anything. I'm a little excited, obviously, but it's more just a relief, you know, just being able to finally showcase myself at the highest level. You know, every time I go up a level, new people get to see me. Everyone usually thinks I'm awesome. You know, I come to fight, I come to kill, I throw crazy weapons from everywhere. So just being able to be in front of the big dogs is it's a relief, because I have a good feeling that they're going to like me a lot.
Michael Lombardo, I'm familiar with him, trains down here at American Top Team down in South Florida. How familiar were you with him before getting this fight?
Had no idea who he was. I didn't even look him up for like 10 days. Yeah, because like, what are you going to do? Be like, I'm going to be like, hey, actually, I'd like somebody that fights differently. You know, like I'm ready to fight anybody. I actually told my manager I was put my name in to fight Chimanov or the Khabib 2.0 when they said he was looking for a quick turnaround. And a lot of people might think I'm crazy, but like I'm not trying to just like get a UFC contract and be one of the guys. I'm trying to crush people on my way to the throne. So I'm like, hey, no one wants to fight that dude. I want to fight that dude. You know, I'm pissed off and quarantined, locked down in a tyrant state. Like Michigan's just fully locked down this whole time. So I'm like, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go. So yeah, no, I didn't know much about my opponent at all. Looked into him. He's good. He's strong, good athlete, really good gym. They're going to have a good strategy. I feel like he hasn't fought the same level of competition I have, or doesn't have as much experience. You know, I know he's a high level athlete, but I'm a gangster with a lot of martial arts experience. You know, I have thousands of karate matches under my belt. And when I was growing up as a kid, I was going down to Detroit and fighting on the weekends. So I feel like my advantage is going to be years in the game, experience, and the fact that I really, really want to be in a fight. I'm not trying to be in a mixed martial arts match. I want to fight, and I want to do damage.
Everyone knows what's on the line here. You know, obviously you go out there, get the win, have a dynamic performance. You know you're going to get into the UFC. Do you think about that at all? Or is the mindset like, man, this is just a fight. I got to do what I do, and whatever happens after, that's what happens.
Yeah, you know, what's crazy is my whole life, like, I always visualized that I always put myself in these positions. I saw myself as, like, a superstar in The Ultimate Fighter when I was younger in my career, just because I was like, I'm perfect for that show. I'm going to be stirring shit up when people are sleeping. So it's kind of the same thing, you know? And then it's weird. As soon as I got to Vegas and I was doing interviews and stuff, like, nothing really felt exciting to me. It just felt like it was supposed to happen. It was normal. You know, I felt normal in the UFC Apex. Like, I'm like, this is my arena. This is my time. And it just felt like business. It felt like this is just a step towards my future goals that I've already visualized, already manifested. And everything just kind of feels normal. You know, the only thing different is having to outperform the other athletes on the card. But typically my style is like all my wins are by finish. I throw up crazy submissions, crazy strikes from everywhere. So I'm like, if I just go out there and be me and get the job done, get a finish over a guy that's never been finished, that's going to take care of itself.
Were you surprised the emotions you had being at the Apex? Did you think your emotions would be different than what they were?
Yeah, like I thought I'd be pretty I thought I'd be really pretty excited and hype, you know, like getting picked up in limos, going to the Apex, like doing everything I visualized. I fought on so many small shows for so many years, like back behind barns in Michigan, you know, just like the most ridiculous things you can imagine. And I don't know, it just felt normal. It just felt like all business. I felt very, very just like relaxed with the atmosphere. And I just felt like the stress has been like, trying to tell people I'm going to make it for the last decade when they're like, you could be doing other things. But now it just feels normal. I just feel at peace. I feel like where I'm supposed to be. And I feel like that's my cage. I'm going to take control of it. I'm going to do what I do.
When it comes to fight night, do you ever feel any stress?
Yeah. I mean, it's normal to feel a little bit of stress. But recently I've just been like, I don't know. I call it my, like, I don't give a fuck attitude. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, if I die, I die. I've made peace with anything bad that can happen. I've been knocked out once in 39 fights. And after that, that really helped me mentally. Cause I feel like before that, you know, you're stressing about different things that can happen. And after that, I'm like, dude, that's the worst that could happen. It's straight. So like, I'm kind of more just like, let it fly. Whatever happens, happens, but you're going to have to kill me in there. So, yeah, I mean, stress is normal, but there's also ways to control it. And I've been competing a long time, you know? So when I was a little kid, I was learning to deal with stress. Now it's time to have some fun.
You mentioned about visualizing certain things. How do you visualize this win coming?
Obviously, like, I would love a spectacular knockout on the feet, but I know my guy's tough and durable. So I visualize every way to victory, and it's actually kind of annoying because I have such a wide skill set that I have to visualize a million different paths to victory. But I have a lot of them. You know, I think he comes really strong early, which is good for me because I come really strong early, so there's going to be some openings there early on. And if he wants to grapple, we can grapple. You know, I'll put my grappling against anybody's. My grappling is not normal grappling. And then worst case scenario, we have a good old dog fight. And, you know, no offense to you Florida guys, but it's nice and comfy down there on the beach. It looks beautiful. I live outside all the top murder capitals on the planet. So we aren't as nice up here, you know. Like, look at what the Michigan guys are doing to people. We're hungry. It's a mean, mean, mean place up here, and we're ready to do mean things. So if we have to go get into a war, I'm ready.
It's a little hot down here right now. I will tell you that. I was outside earlier today. Man, it is brutal hot right now.
See, we'll be snowing in like a week probably. We got that stuff.
Yeah, man, it's like 90 degrees outside. It is not cool at all. It will be hot inside the UFC Apex when you step in there against Michael Lombardo. As always, Corey, I appreciate the time. And, of course, let everyone know we can follow you on social media and anything else you want to mention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Instagram and Twitter at Corey Cuppy. And I'm going to try to keep up with that a little bit. And then, yeah, pretty much besides that, I'm a big component for our president, Trump 2020, get our freedoms back, and watch me on September 15th. I'm about to blow the roof off the UFC Apex and introduce myself to the UFC fans and get my contract.
And I appreciate Corey Cuppy giving me some time recently to talk about his matchup coming up here on Tuesday night, Dana White's Contender Series. As I've interviewed Corey now a couple of times, and you know, this is a man that he's been looking for opportunities. I mean, you know, look, he mentioned in that interview that he was willing to take on Chimaev, and you know, I don't know how many people are necessarily calling the UFC to say, hey, let me take on Chimaev, but he was one of them. And we'll see how he does on Tuesday night taking on Michael Lombardo. Lombardo we've seen on the Contender Series before, so that's an interesting matchup. Of course, this is the final week of the Contender Series before they go on a little bit of a break. Of course, the UFC, this will be the last week of shows for them in Las Vegas before they head to Fight Island. Saturday's card will be interesting for the UFC with Colby Covington and Tyron Woodley, of how that is going to go down. You know, just looking at the fight card for Tuesday's Dana White Contender Series, definitely interested in the 145-pound matchup between Kyle Driscoll and Dennis Paiva. I've talked to both of those guys in the past. Dennis Paiva coming out of CES MMA, big opportunity for him in that one. Colin Anglin's a guy I've also talked to before. He's going to be in this matchup, a training partner of Cody Brundage. He recently moved out to Denver with Cody to train at Factory X, so big opportunity for him. 7-1 featherweight out of that Michigan scene. And the other fighter that I'm extremely familiar with is Jordan Williams, actually being the main event of the fight card, taking on Gregory Rodriguez, 7-2. Jordan Williams, we have seen on the Contender Series before. We have seen him in Bellator on multiple occasions. This will actually be his first fight since July of last year, when he lost a split decision on the Contender Series. He had a couple of canceled bouts earlier this year, supposed to fight Unified MMA 40 against KB Bilal. That did not happen. Then was supposed to fight LFA 84 against Kyle Stewart. That fight did not happen as well due to the coronavirus. So a big matchup there for Jordan Williams. So, as always, looking forward to watching Dana White's Contender Series come up on Tuesday night. Now, next up, you're going to hear my conversation with Hunter Azure, who got a decision win 2 weeks ago on the Fight Night card in Vegas, getting that decision win over Cole Smith. Had a great chat with him. I've talked to Hunter now on a couple occasions, and really my big takeaway from this interview is him talking about what his focus was leading into this fight. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is, man, it's come off victory this past weekend, UFC Vegas number 9, Hunter Azure. Hunter, as always, appreciate the time. Congratulations on the victory, man. I thought a very clear win for you. 29-28, obviously the third round you had to fight off the chokes that Cole was going for, but like, as a couple, you know, you mentioned right after the fight you were like, I'm not thrilled with my performance, but now that a couple of days have kind of come by and you've gone back and you've watched it and you evaluated how you performed, has your thoughts changed on your assessment of the fight?
It was a good performance. It was good. Like, I criticize myself pretty hard all the time. So, I mean, I take it, and compared to right after the fight to now, yeah, I gave myself a little better grade on it. So,
like, is that just kind of always like in the heat of the moment, like right after you get done? Is it always kind of like that thing of like, you're more down on yourself than you are like upbeat, positive? Is that just kind of the way you are?
I think so. I mean, I wish I finished that third round a little stronger. Like, I didn't want to finish on the ground. I wanted to be on top, more in control. But hey, man, we could fix those things easy. So,
is it more? Do you look back more at the third round than you do the first two rounds because of Cole's ability to try to work in those submissions?
Yeah, and he's long. He's a long bantamweight. So once he got that body lock on me, that with his long legs and stuff, that kind of secured me a little bit on the ground. And I got to focus on that, work on that. And like I said, my arms got shot in that fight. Like, my cardio felt good, but my forearms were on fire. So just, I think it's just fixing little things through camp and just preparing to, just like in my wrestling days, I want to finish the third round just as strong as my first two. So
when you get put in the body lock position, how do you maneuver on trying to, you know, get out of that position, but also fighting the hands. How do you kind of figure out how to attack, you know, two different things that, are going on?
I think it's just more reps in the gym, getting to my coaches and figuring that out. But like we definitely went over it and stuff, but I was focusing too much on just the hands or worrying about the legs. But that doesn't always happen when, like, he's 5'11", so not all bantamweights are going to be that long. And you, it's a little easier to get out of some of those body locks and stuff. But, man, I knew I was up on the scorecards. I definitely wanted to get away, but I just knew I couldn't be dumb, and I had, like, he had to submit me or finish me to win.
In terms of they talk about the things that you're happiest with. I mean, obviously you're happy that you walked away with the victory, but is there something inside of the fight, maybe something you had been working on in the training room of what you are happiest about the performance about?
Yeah, I'm happy. I listened to my coaches a lot more this time. I calmed myself down a little more. I was a little more relaxed and was able to mix in my wrestling. Like, I was able to get back to what got me here.
Mm-hmm. I guess the storyline with you coming into this one was about, well, how's Hunter going to rebound? Because we all know what happened earlier this year. You got to a great start. You got caught. Was the mindset different heading into this one as opposed to what's been the previous UFC fights?
A little bit. Like, mainly just had to calm myself down. Like, I love to get out there and fight, and I just like to go after it. But it's just my mindset. I just focused mainly on, I didn't care how I got that win, honestly. Like, I knew I needed to get back into the win column. I didn't want to get off to two losses in a row like that. So my focus was just to be calm, get out there, get the victory, and just focus on, like, a lot of wrestling.
You've mentioned about being calm now a couple of times. Is that something, it's been a constant battle for you in terms of your fighting career?
Oh, for sure. Like, for training, everything, man. I use too much energy. I've always used too much energy in the round and stuff, and I always forget it. A fight could go 15 minutes further down. If you go main events, it could be 25 minutes. So it's just becoming more experienced and just being able to adjust and let those bursts and energy come out as they need to be through the fight.
Mm-hmm. Is it changing a mindset for you? Is it that simple way to put it?
I mean, it's not that simple. Like, I got from all my training practices, I got to, like, just kind of, like, pace myself a little more at the beginning and just relax and get more comfortable in the positions and just feel like and know to be in the right spots and just be comfortable and getting control of the fight and stuff. Like, it'll all happen if I'm not just being wild and crazy. And that's when you get caught and stuff. So that's what I took out of my loss with Kelleher, is just – I was just too wild. I got too caught up in the hands. I was having fun. So I just had to be more focused and zoned in.
You mentioned about listening to your coaches more. And obviously in this era of fighting where there's no fans, obviously your coaches can be, I mean, hell, we can hear them on the broadcast. You know, has that kind of changed some things for you?
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely hear them a lot better, and it's easier to zone in on them, but listening to my coaches as in through, I guess, through training camp as well. And in practice, just being able to, like, I've always trusted them, but just trusting them more on the fly in those positions. Like they could see, they know me a lot better now, and they could see positions I can't see while we're clinched up on the cage or something. And like, I just got to trust them and know what they're seeing on me.
Did you find yourself at all trying to listen to Cole's corner?
I mean, I don't try to listen, but you definitely hear them and you get those thoughts through your mind, but it's just, I'm sure he heard my corner and it's just part of the fight, man. But you can't focus on that too much, 'cause you know, some people mix up little code words and little things here. So it's just, you just try to in one ear and out the other.
Was there anything about how he attacked you that surprised you?
No, I was pretty prepared for that. I figured he was going to try to throw a lot of those middle kicks up the middle and knees. And so I was really prepared for that. And it was just, that was one thing I had to relax on. Like, I couldn't just try to shoot because, I mean, he threw a lot of those up the middle. So I just had to wait for my turn and time it right.
So what's next for you now? Is it obviously when the UFC is doing cards in the U.S., it seems to be opportunities can really just come at any moment. We've seen just kind of how many, you know, fighters have fallen out, fights have fallen out. Is the mindset, I mean, obviously they're going back to Fight Island here in a couple of weeks, but is the mindset of like, you know, stay ready, just fight ready, stay ready?
Yeah, man, just stay ready. I'm taking this week, like take it off a little bit, just let my body heal up and just enjoy some food and stuff. But I mean, I'm still going to get some runs in and do little activities. But yeah, man, just stay ready. Like, I definitely want to get one in by the end of the year. But like you said, all these cards are coming up. Like, people are falling off left and right. So I just want to keep my weight and stay healthy, keep it all under control. And just, it's a fight game and I love fighting. So just prepare as best I can to step right back in there. And Phoenix isn't too far from Vegas, so, man, I could always be ready and drive down the road.
Is Fight Week, is it a hectic week in terms of, like, especially, like, after you take that COVID test after weigh-ins and you're quarantined in that hotel, like, is it kind of becoming stressful of, like, okay, guys, you can call me anytime and let me know I'm negative?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little stressful when you first take it, but I mean, it's different for sure. Like, I have 3 fights in the UFC now. Each fight week has been completely different for me. So I'm just kind of learning to adjust on the fly and just be prepared for whatever. I mean, you might get a new opponent on 2 days notice. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You look at, you know, Brian went through what, 3 opponents?
Yep.
Like I thought it was crazy of, he was in a position where they brought in a backup opponent. I'm sitting there going, if you're in Brian's position, how do, like, what's going through your mind of like, okay, I know I've got opponent A, but he may not make it to the fight. They brought in opponent B. I might have to fight that guy on 24 hours notice. Like I sit there and wonder, like, as a fighter, like, how do you mentally take all that in?
Man, but I guess that's just how this whole year's been. It's been pretty wild, and these opportunities are just flying at you. So, I mean, it's just, I guess in training, you just got to be prepared as best you can, and for whoever, just stay ready, I guess.
Does it take you back to your wrestling days of like, you know, hey, I might be in a tournament, and I have no idea who's in the next round?
Oh, yeah, I think that's what makes it a lot easier is just, growing up, like, man, you jump on a scale in the morning, the brackets are made after that, and so you figure out who you're wrestling within 30 minutes before your match. You know, it's just prepare, and you got to be the best you out there. So
you know, in terms of you mentioned about this week's about relaxation, and I'm guessing some cheat meals are involved in this relaxation.
Yes, for sure, some cheat meals and just some time with my son, man. Yeah.
What's is there a go-to activity that you like to do with your son with this time off you got now?
I'm going to take him into the gym. I mean, we're going to watch some of the team practice and just be around them as much as we can. But now down here in Arizona, the weather's finally cooling off a little bit. It's not consistently 115. So I'm going to take him outdoors. We're going to get some hikes in and just enjoy some little air and some free time. Yeah, just make up the time I missed with him. So,
what would be the go to cheat meal for you?
Man, desserts. Right now, I was craving pies this whole camp. So, I had a cherry pie last night. We're gonna bake a apple pie either tonight or tomorrow. Just eat some sushi, some cheeseburgers, eat some wings. Just mix it all up and try everything.
Now, you're not the type of guy that, like, watches Food Network during fight week.
No, I don't. I barely watch TV, so. But I love watching people eat during fight week. I always want to take my coaches, see them eat, buy them food. It's like, I love it. Yeah.
See, I would think the coaches might feel a little bad if they're indulging some good food and you're just like sitting there and you've got, you know, water.
No, they know. I tell them from the start, man. I'm the one that chose this weight class. No one's forcing me down there. It's just, It's part of my job, and I want them happy and them to enjoy their time too, as well as me. So,
awesome stuff, man. As always, man, I really appreciate time. I look forward to seeing you back inside the Octagon. Of course, let me know anything, follow you out on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
You just find me at Hunter Azure on Instagram, and man, just big shout out to my team and my family, everyone that supports me. It makes this fun and easy for me. So thank you.
And there was my conversation with Hunter Azure. I appreciate him giving some time to talk about his win against Cole Smith. I mentioned right before that interview that my big takeaway was him talking about what his focus was leading into the fight. My second takeaway from that interview is Hunter talking about, you know, in the moment, you know, he wasn't happy with his performance, but, you know, after a couple of days it kind of passed, not feeling as bad about his performance, but a notable win, to get back, after being, the knockout loss that he had against Brian Kelleher earlier this year. So interested to kind of see where Hunter goes from there. And, when he does return, I mean, obviously, he kind of mentioned November, December, which would really line up with what the UFC is going to do in terms of returning to Las Vegas. Up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Daniel Madrid. Demigod got a win on Saturday night at the Bellator card there at Mohegan on the preliminary card. He got a split decision win over Pat Casey. So here is my conversation with Daniel Madrid. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who fights on Saturday, Bellator 246. Daniel, man, I appreciate time. I was on your Instagram feed a little earlier this morning, and you got your, as you said, the brain got touched a little bit, your COVID test. Now you're in that quarantine mode of what fight week is like. I mean, like, how is quarantine life inside the Mohegan Sun handling for you?
I mean, so far it hasn't been bad. We walked down this morning. We got our first test, which wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I've had the test done twice now, and both times they've touched my brain, and this one wasn't as bad. So, but otherwise, man, I've just been chilling in the room. I just move around a little bit. I think I posted a story earlier to my Instagram where it's just me shadow boxing and shit, but that's about it.
Yeah, I know in talking to Mike Mazzulli, who runs the commission up there, when kind of all these events started, he was like, using the doctors that he's using, that it's more of like, isn't it like a 10-second swab just kind of inside your nose deal?
Yeah, it's 10 seconds just making big circles around the tip of your nostril where it's like kind of uncomfortable, but it's not. And then you have to do it on both sides for 10 seconds.
Yeah, but it makes fight week a unique fight week. And obviously this COVID life, you were supposed to fight back in March. That doesn't happen because of COVID. You were supposed to fight, Austin Vanderford on this card. Of course, we all know that's not happening. Now you got Pat Casey. Like, as you think about these two opportunities that you've had of the opponents, because not any disrespect to Pat, but there were bigger names on the table for you. Like, would you say it's just disappointing that those two fights just didn't come together?
No. I'm bummed out that I didn't get to fight Austin. I think that would have been a really good fight. But it sucks. Like, I feel for him, and I hope he's doing okay and everything's good. With Pat, I look at him no different than I looked at Austin. They're both the two dangerous people that I've seen up until this date. Right. And that's how I look at every fight coming forward. Like, no one is less or more than the person that I faced before. So it's just as dangerous. I mean, we still have a game plan for him. We're good. We're ready to go. Nothing's changed.
In terms of the change in opponent, how did that kind of alter your did alter preparations at all?
No. Nope. Everything stayed the same. The only thing that changed was height requirement. That's it. I think there was like a little bit of a height difference between the two of them, but other than that, no, everything stayed the same.
Is it simply one of those things of like, okay, Austin's out, Pat's in, let's pop in the tape on Pat, let's kind of just break him down, but at the end of the day, you're like, you know what, I'm going to have an understanding of what he does, but at the end of the day, I got to be me. I can't change everything because all of a sudden it's a different opponent.
Exactly. Mike Tyson said it best, man. He's like, everyone has a game plan going into a fight until you get hit for the first time, right? I leave that up to my coaches. My coaches formulate the game plans, man. I follow them to the best that I possibly can. But you're right. It's inside that octagon, you got to be creative. You got to be yourself. If you're not that, then, I mean, who are you?
Have you and your team thought about fighting in an empty arena and how that can kind of change the fight? Like the one thing I've heard from more fighters kind of in this pandemic era of fighting is they'll say, especially fighters that go on later in the fight, of like, all of a sudden, like, yes, you're hearing your own coaches better, you know, you're precise, you don't have to worry about crowd noise, but say, as the fight goes on, you start hearing your opponent's corner more and more and more. All of a sudden, you start kind of figuring out their code words of what's coming.
To be honest, I don't really recall being able to hear any of my corners or my opponent's corners in my past fights. I don't know if it'll affect me or not. We do this on a regular anyway with just regular sparring in our gym. I don't think this is going to be any different. If anything, it takes a lot of pressure off of me. I'm just there with my three coaches. That's how I see it. And I have a person in front of me that I got to go kick the shit out of. You know, that's all it is. It's just, we're both going in there to start a fight with one another.
Do you feel pressure on fight night?
Do you know why? I put pressure on myself. It's because, especially like, a lot of my fights happen in the state of Arizona where all my family and my friends are, my teammates. So it's like, it sucks losing in front of them. Like, I don't want to lose in front of them. I don't want to have a bad performance. So like, I really hold myself to a really high standard when it comes to this. And it's not, I mean, it's to me to a certain extent, but it's for their viewing pleasure. Like, I want them to always see the best Daniel that is possibly can be there.
I think a lot of people would look at this opportunity for you as the biggest opportunity of your career. Do you view it that way?
I do. What's funny is if you ask, I don't know if you talk to Jason, my manager, a lot, but he called me the day they found out about Austin, right? So he goes, I got good news, I got bad news. What do you want to hear first? And being the realist that I am, you know, I want to hear the bad news first.
Yeah.
So he tells me, he goes, Austin's out of the fight, man. My heart sunk. And I'll tell you why. It's not because I was bummed out, not because to fight Austin, but what I was afraid of, what the good news was going to be, is that they have a fight for me, but it's not for another 2 to 3 months. And I couldn't imagine myself going through another fight camp after realistically being in one since January. Like, that was going to break my heart. And then he turned around and told me about Pat, dude. And I was like, thank Christ. But yeah, man, that scared the shit out of me, being I was going to have to go through another fight camp.
How would you describe 2020 for yourself?
On a professional level, it's a wash besides this moment right here. That's why I'm like, fuck everything else, man. Forget everything else. Like, we're going to focus in on this moment. And but everything else, man, has been kind of a wash. The only – realistically, actually, I take that back. It's been a wash professionally on that side of it. But for my family and I, like, it's been a blessing. Like, you know, we've gotten to spend some super quality time together, times that we haven't really had in a long time because of, you know, work schedules and whatnot. So that's definitely been a blessing.
Like, I'd say for me, it showed me the ability to adapt and evolve. You know,
how so?
In terms of, like, I look at me as someone who is self-employed. Okay, all of a sudden, there's all these tools that maybe I had that require going out somewhere that I don't have. And it's like, okay, how do I evolve in what I do on a day-in, day-out business? And how do I sit there and, like, I rarely go to my office anymore. I maybe go one day a week. I just work from home now. And I figured out, how can I maximize what I do to succeed? And like, I've had more success this year than I've probably had any other year.
And see, that's awesome, because there have been, like, my wife is exactly what you're describing right now, right? Like, she used to literally go into the office 7:30 in the morning, wouldn't get back home till like 6:30. And it's the same thing. She's finding out that she has so many tools at her disposal, and that she's able to work from home the majority of the time and maybe go to the office once twice a week, maybe. So it's interesting. I mean, it's cool to hear stories like that. I love hearing successful stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, outside of like if there's a recording in the studio, that's pretty much the only time I just made the decision of like, okay, I'm doing all my fire interviews from home now. I'm not going to my studio. I'm just going to do them all from home for pretty much the most part. And so I think that's, you know, and from your perspective as a fighter, based on where you may live, you may have, you know, like fires will say, you know, man, kind of had to sneak in the back door of the gym with a couple of guys so no one knew we were in there. You know, it is kind of, and like you heard fires talk about, hey, building a home garage and, you know, maybe they had the tools already at their home. Maybe they had mats or whatnot. I mean, there was one fighter who told me, said, you know, I didn't have the mats. So literally I used my car as a wall to work on my, you know, getting up when, you know, when I'm next to the fence.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, I've always been a really big firm believer of, I don't like to bring my work life home, especially with fighting, because fighting just, it takes so much out of you that I don't want to have to take my place of relaxment and then include that kind of work with it. I don't want Governor Ducey looking at this and trying to like pinpoint something. So I can't say I trained at the gym all the time. You know, there was definitely secret locations where my coaches and I would meet up and everything, but yeah, do what you gotta do, man.
I think we all have done something. We got to do what we got to do to, you know, at the end of the day, you know, provide an income for our family.
Exactly.
You know, I feel so bad for, you know, because so many fighters are in the personal training business of all of a sudden, you know, like I was talking to a fighter last week who told me, said, man, I had to close down my gym. It just became, I financially couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a sign, but it's great that, you know, obviously you've got this opportunity now with Bellator. You know, kind of is your thoughts of Saturday is more of like, man, this is my way to introduce myself to Scott Coker, Rich Chow, Mike Kogan, and basically say of, this is the type of guy you're going to get. Is that your view of the fight?
I think that's a part of it. Absolutely. I'm taking everything in. I'm just soaking it all up, man. I've been dreaming of this for years now, and I've been blessed to have been put with the right management to get me to the right organization, and it's everything is lined up for a reason in my life at the precise time that it's supposed to be lined up, and we're taking it in, all his blessings, and I'm thankful for everything, man, and I'm ready to show the world who I am.
You know, with this being a doubleheader weekend for Bellator, does Friday night kind of become a little bit rough for you? Like you're sitting there going, man, there's fights going on downstairs. I wish I was down there fighting as we wait until Saturday.
No, I'm not even. I mean, I know that the card is on Friday, but like I'm not even paying attention to it. Like my goal is strictly focused on Saturday. That's all it is.
Because of the world we're in, does this feel like more like a business trip as opposed to previous fights you've had? Just because of, you get there, obviously there's a quarantine aspect of like, but pretty much like it's just you and your team. And does it kind of bring into more perspective of, look, you know, there are no distractions. We know why we're here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm fortunate in the sense that my team and I have the same views. Like anytime we've done this out of state or out of country, whatever, like we don't really like to go out too much. Like we stay focused on the task at hand, which is a bummer because I mean there are some really beautiful woods out here that I would love to go walk through and just really enjoy this weather because I'm from the land of the heat, but I mean I got a really good view outside my window, so it just as bummer it is, but you're absolutely right. It's business first. We're gonna take care of that. I'm gonna make sure that I put a stamp on my legacy here in Bellator and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I remember when I was up there last February for an event. Being from Florida, you know, we don't handle the cold really well. And I remember my wife texted me. She goes, "So how cold is it out there?" I go, "No clue." The only time I went outside was when I went from the airport to the Mohegan Sun. I haven't even left Mohegan.
I get it, dude. Look, it drops below 72 here, and I'm like, nope, I'm good. Turn the heater on. I'm Arizona, man. I get it. Like anything below 75, I'm cold.
Man, I wish we get like a 75 here in Florida. Man, It may be high 70s at 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm taking the dog out for a walk.
But yeah, that's not bad. You guys you got some crazy humidity though. So.
Oh man, I tell you what, I've lived here all my life. I feel like it gets hotter every year.
Join the rest of the people from Arizona. But yeah.
Yeah, it's
every year's hotter than the year before.
Oh yeah, it's two different kinds of heat, that Arizona heat as opposed to that Florida heat. It's two different heats, you know.
It absolutely is.
But you'll be bringing the heat to the cage to come up here on Saturday night, Bellator 246. Daniel, I really appreciate time, man, here during fight week. Of course, let everyone know anything fall you out on social media. I know you're much more of an Instagram guy, so let everyone know anything fall you at, and anybody else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. On Instagram, my fighter profile is Daniel DG Madrid. I'm active on there most, but it does automatically share it to my Facebook and Instagram. My Twitter. Twitter has the same handle name. Facebook, just search up Daniel Damagod Madrid. Big shout out to all my sponsors, Zur Organic, Shave and Fade, and AE Herbs and Exotics. Without you guys, a lot of this can't be done. To my team, Legion MMA, my coaches, my family, my wife, my beautiful wife, I love you so much. To my babies, I love you. I miss you all. Thanks for having me on the show, brother.
And there was my chat with Daniel Madrid. Appreciate him taking some time out before his fight at Bellator 246. Actually spoke to him on the day he got the Mohegan. I want to say we talked early in the afternoon that morning was when he got the Mohegan and did his coronavirus test. And, you know, a fighter that was, you know, really for a while now, I've kind of felt that, you know, he was on the verge of potentially, you know, getting into the UFC. You know, I mentioned earlier on the show that, you know, someone who's had a couple of canceled fights that obviously hurt his case. But, you know, Bellator, you know, sees a, you know, when they see a middleweight, a division they know they need to develop and, you know, add depth to that division. They did that. Daniel Madrid, a nice signing for him. So for them, and we'll see kind of where it goes with Daniel Madrid. But appreciate him giving some time out and, you know, really kind of a, you know, a lot of times in my interview, we don't talk a lot about the actual fight. We just kind of talk about life in general and kind of talking about COVID-19 and how it's kind of handled for both of us. So I really appreciate Daniel taking some time out of his day as he was quarantined inside his hotel there at the Mohegan Sun. I appreciate him giving me some time out. Now, our final interview of the day is going to be with Josh Quinlan. This is I interviewed him for the first time last week, fought on Friday night at LFA 91, trains out in Las Vegas. He is now 3-0 in his career as he got a TKO win in the second round against Pete Keepers. You know, prior to that fight, made his pro debut in April of 2019 and then got another win in February of this year. Someone that his amateur debut came back all the way in 2015, went undefeated as an amateur. So I had a chance to talk to him. Well, once you hear that conversation, and really the big thing about the conversation is about how a kid from Hawaii ends up in New Mexico based on his soccer abilities going to college, and ultimately how he ends up going making that transition to mixed martial arts. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's going to fight on Friday night, UFC Fight Pass, LFA 91. Josh, man, appreciate the time. Third professional fight, man. So kind of as you have, you know, moved on in your career, going back to Tapology, AMI debut in 2015, 2019 was a pro debut. Like, how is this fight week compared to previous fight weeks for you?
You know, this fight week has been pretty smooth. You know, I have had a lot of experience cutting weight, had a lot of experience kind of leading up to amateur fights and professional fights, but this fight week just is going pretty smooth. I'm well prepared for this one. Everything was on point. I'm feeling 100% healthy and just ready for the bout.
So how did you get involved in martial arts?
You know, I went from my goal was to play collegiate soccer, and when that didn't manifest itself, I was looking for another way to express my athletic ability. And, you know, my friends were training mixed martial arts in Las Vegas, and I was like, hey, I wanted to try that out. Never had any hand-to-hand combat or never had a background, but 19 years old, threw myself in and never looked back, you know.
So what's the best attribute you brought from the soccer field to the mixed martial arts arena?
Yeah, you know, I'd say just a quick mind, quick feet, and just the ability to make quick decisions, a little bit of explosiveness. And I was a type of a leader on my soccer team back in Hawaii. So I was able to just take charge. And it's interesting how soccer is more of a group sport and MMA is an individual sport when you get in the cage. But there is a team environment when you're training up for it. So I like both aspects of it.
I would have thought one of the answers would have been cardio.
True. You know, I did do cross country in high school all 4 years. So I believe cardio does play a good role in that. And I think that's how I can, last a few in the later rounds. But soccer, it's, there's explosive situations or just, transitioning situations. But yeah, I'm happy that I got that experience and I'm here now.
You mentioned about being from Hawaii. What ultimately drew you to Vegas? Was it just you had friends already there?
So from Hawaii, I went to New Mexico, Albuquerque for my first year of college. And if you've ever been there, it's pretty mundane, pretty slow, nothing really progressing over there. But it was a great experience to get outside my house, fly the nest, and had some good experiences being on my own over there. But when I didn't make the soccer team in University of New Mexico, I was looking for an outlet. You know, I didn't just want to come out of college with a piece of paper and an engineering degree. So my friends are training over here, and I never had the opportunity to train martial arts when I was younger. I was always in team sports. So when I got the opportunity, I transferred to a community college in Las Vegas, and implemented a good martial art routine. I went from training soccer and trying to pursue that high level soccer to just applying the same work ethic to martial arts, and I really got some good results from that.
So was it an instant love for the martial arts game, or did it take some time?
Man, honestly, I did love it when I first picked it up. You know, the gym, Juan Fight Team, was very loving, very, welcoming. My coach, Leandro Lorenco, and coach Michael Costa were there from the beginning. And there's been other coaches transitioned in and out of there, like Alex Chandao Neves. He's another Brazilian, and Ricardo Abreu. You know, all my coaches and all my role models made me who I am today, and couldn't do it without them. They really planted some good seeds in me, and I'm just cultivating them.
What's the best piece of advice they've given you?
Man, they didn't give me maybe words, but they just showed me that, hard work ethic, giving it your all, being disciplined in your crafts, whether it be your job or some type of goal, being disciplined and consistent is the way to achieve it. And, also being positive, being loving, everybody starts from the same place of just not knowing anything. And that's where I started. I didn't know how to throw a punch, didn't know how to throw a kick, but they welcomed me with open arms and taught me, passed on the knowledge, and I'm looking to do that as well. And I'm also got the opportunity to be a kids coach, an assistant coach for jiu-jitsu, but a kids coach for Muay Thai. And it's been really fulfilling passing on that knowledge.
In terms of the matchup here on Friday night, you're facing a fighter who he's making his pro debut, but had an extensive amateur career. His last amateur fight was just back beginning of last month. So what's your take on him as an opponent?
I'm glad he got some good experience. I had a great experience through my amateur career, and he seems like a well-seasoned and well-experienced gentleman. And I'm just looking to have him bring his best. I haven't fought too much lengthy opponents, but I have had training partners like Chris Gates in my fight camps, and I've been able to maneuver that a little bit and got some experience. So I'm up for the challenge. You know, I hope he can bring out the best in me, and I bring out the best in him.
What do you feel your key to victory is?
I'm confident in my Muay Thai. I got some great coaches, and if it goes to the ground, I'm confident in my jiu-jitsu, but I feel that I'll be able to work my way in and lay some heavy shots, and hopefully, God willing, it'll make its mark.
Obviously, 2020 has been a evolving year for all of us, no matter what we do in our lives, but as you think about what you want to accomplish after this fight is done, is there any goals that you have set for the remainder of the year?
That's a good question. I've gotten, since I've transitioned out of college and got a full-time job or a career job in my engineering field, I wanted to take my professional career a little more serious. That's after I graduated, I took my first professional fight. And from there, I just wanted to, I set a goal to make it to the elite level of martial arts and whatever that may be, if I'm able to make it to just the maybe Bellator or make it to just have a good career in this LFA, then that would be it. But if God opens the doors, then I'm going to take it all the way and hope to be in the UFC someday and maybe planning on fighting for the belt.
So you mentioned about the full-time job as an engineer. What do your coworkers think about you being a professional fighter?
Yes, sir. They're motivated. It's interesting. I have pretty much of an individual job. I'm not too much on an engineering team. Mm-hmm. There's a design team, and there's I work under a professional engineer, Jeff Edcart, and he's a great mentor in the engineering field. He's supportive of my martial arts career, and I got some good support over here at Ahern Rentals and Extreme Manufacturing. So, going in with a good support and good backing. So the full-time job just provides some good support and some good stability as I pursue my passion.
So when you got into this job and, you get hired, we all kind of go through that. Were there people that were like, and you told them like, oh, by the way, I'm a martial artist and I fight for, I fight in a cage. Were they like, no way?
I get punched in the face.
were they surprised to learn that about you?
I'm pretty a mellow, quiet guy over here. I'm pretty positive in this work environment. But my last amateur fight, I had some coworkers come to my event, as well as my boss, and they got a taste of that world a little bit. And that wasn't an easy fight either. I fought a wrestler, Sharik Shields, and he did a big old suplex on me and dazed me the first 15 seconds of the fight. But I was able to pull through and get the victory. All glory to God. And from that fight, they saw my passion and they support it.
And of course, Bill, see your fight come up here on Friday night. LFA 91 does stream live on UFC Fight Pass. Josh, appreciate the time. Good luck here in the matchup. Of course, let me know if they can follow you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
I just want to say thank you for all the support and the people that are just everybody that built me up to who I am today, my family, my friends, my coaches, my teammates. I'm doing it all. This is my goal, but it's, doing it all for them. They got me here, and I just want to take it as far as I want to take it and give all the glory to God and, spread positivity. I got some great teammates and great people around me. I just want to give them some acknowledgement.
And there was my conversation with Josh Quinlan. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day last week as he was in preparations for LFA 91 to talk to me about, really just kind of his career in general. And very interesting to kind of hear his journey to mixed martial arts, talking about, going from, Hawaii to New Mexico because of playing soccer, and then ultimately leading up in Las Vegas and now a pro mixed martial arts fighter. So interesting to kind of see how he does develop going on throughout his career, very young in his career. That maybe that's a guy that, maybe a year from now we're talking about him, picks up a couple more wins, probably in the contender series. You know, you know, 3-0. He needs. I would say if I was managing him, I'd want to get him a couple more fights before maybe potentially putting him in the, in a potential contender series fight. But look, you hear him talk about very open to Bellator as well. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, Bellator. The big notable news with Bellator is officially announcing they're going to CBS Sports Network starting on October the 1st. So it could be interesting to kind of see how that plays out on CBS Sports Network. I mean, obviously Paramount wasn't a great fit for them, and now on a sports network. And look, this is no disrespect to CBS Sports Network, and I hope someone from Viacom is listening to this, they'll take this away. I couldn't tell you the last time I turned on CBS Sports Network. I really can't tell you the last time I did. Obviously, I know it's on my my YouTube TV, and which, by the way, if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, we got NFL Network now, and also so that's cool. Red Zone now on there, but of course, me working for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio Network, Red Zone really is not something I need, because I'm in a stadium every Sunday now. Of course, if we have a Thursday night game or a Sunday night game or a Monday night game, okay, then Red Zone might come into play for me. But yeah, it's I will tell you that I'm actually recording this here on the morning of September the 13th, as I'll be heading to the stadium here in a little bit, starting my 15th season as part of the game day crew for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio Network. I started that in 2006, actually started doing some work for the network in 2004, doing some coaches and players shows. So it's looking forward to the season, as can't wait to get back in the booth and be with my crew and bring Tampa Bay Buccaneers coverage to the radio dial here in Tampa Bay. That'll be on 98 Rock, also it is the game broadcast is available on the Buccaneers mobile app. So really, really excited about today with the start of the NFL season. Of course, coming up on Wednesday, myself and Daniel Galvan will be back for another edition of the MMA Report podcast. I'm sure some of the topics we're going to hit on is Ed Herman versus Mike Rodriguez and the referee not stopping that fight when clearly Mike Rodriguez should have been awarded a TKO victory. And of course, Mike ultimately gets caught in a submission by Ed Herman. Ed Herman getting his first submission win since 2012. I guess probably the other thing we're going to talk about last night is the amount of underdogs that came in and won last night on the UFC card, as that was definitely one of the big storylines last night of the upsets that we saw. I mean, you look at the fighters that did pull off the upset. Kevin Kroom comes in just on a couple of days' notice and defeats Roosevelt Roberts. Cesaro Eubanks defeated Julia Avila. Ed Herman, even though it really, you could definitely, when you listen to Dana White, Dana White does not consider Ed Herman win. He considers it Mike Rodriguez win. And look, kudos to the UFC for saying they're going to pay Mike Rodriguez his win money. I also saw Mike's manager, Tyson Chartier, said they are going to file an appeal with the Nevada Athletic Commission. Also, Roxanne Modafari getting a win as an underdog. And Michelle Waterson going in there as a kind of a notable underdog. She ended up as plus 145. At one point she was she was basically even money now. So great fight if you did not catch that fight. So myself and Daniel will talk about that. We will talk about what happened with the Bellator event. Obviously we'll preview this week's UFC card. And of course, if you ever have any questions, comments, or topics that you want to hear myself and Daniel discuss on the Wednesday podcast, there's a couple ways you can send that to me. You can send it to me on Twitter at Jason_Floyd. You can also email it to me, jason@radioinfluence.com. That's another way to reach out to me. Or on Instagram, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Jason_Floyd. So look, I always love to hear from the people that download. As I say, I greatly appreciate every week when I see these download numbers and I see how many people are downloading. I'm just blown away by the amount of people that listen to me talk about this crazy sport of mixed martial arts. Of course, if you haven't and you want to show your support for the podcast, of course, you can, you support our sponsors, but also a great way to show your support. And it doesn't cost you anything. All you got, hit that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting platform you listen to. That really helps me out a lot. As I will tell you, that's one thing that advertisers do look at. So they look at the download numbers, but also they're looking at those ratings and reviews. So if you could do me a solid and leave me a 5-star review, I would really appreciate that. So that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report Interview Edition, which comes out every Sunday on RadioInfluence.com and TheMMAReport.com.
This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer quick fix on Radio Influence.
He is a multi-time Ring of Honor tag team champion, multi-time IWGP junior tag team champion, former NWA world junior champion, IWPG junior champion, and a 3-time CMLL super light heavyweight champion, a man with lots of gold, Rocky Romero.
I'm probably a lifer with New Japan. I feel like, I've been here since 2011 nonstop, consistently, so, and then, before that, obviously for many years on and off, I was under contract. So the opportunity really didn't present itself, to go anywhere else. And, I don't think I would have either way, cause I I'm pretty happy where I am. And, New Japan is like a family to me. And, just kind of different situation, I think for Trent, he had spent some time there and I know it was a difficult decision for him, but as well during this time, but, he didn't really have, like, he had some roots, but he didn't have like the roots that go so deep like me there, So, sure. I don't know. That opportunity really didn't present itself because I was under contract, like I said, and it's just different circumstances and situations. So, like I said, I think I'll probably be a lifer with New Japan.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.